Welcome to Energy Stew. This is Peter Roth, your host. And I'd like to ask you, do you approve of your looks? How do you look, okay? How's your body image, okay? Well, none of us are perfect. So how do we handle that? And we're going to talk about that today. This is a show about a book, a subject matter, and the book is called The Truth About Beauty. And we're going to talk with the author and find out how beautiful we are or not. What does it count? How do we hold it? And how can we get better? Okay, so let's talk with the author of The Truth About Beauty, Kat James. Kat, welcome to the show.
Great to be on, Peter. I know you chuckle at that because you know how much deeper really the subject of beauty is, and so many people think it's a frivolous pursuit or one based on vanity, and you and I know it goes so much deeper than that.
It's about
and
self-worth.
It was just ironic. It was ironic that I came from a very superficial beauty world. I rose to be one of the top celebrity makeup artists in the 90s and was quoted in all the magazines about what color lipstick will make the teeth look the whitest. And eventually I fell apart on a cellular level because I fought an eating disorder for many, many years. And that also harmed my whole system, my inner ecology even. And I had autoimmune issues and eventually near liver failure at the age of 24, at which point I needed to wake up. And I did, thank goodness, and walked into a health food store, started reading different things that could fix my liver, and then eventually started eating in a very foreign way because I had a heroin-like addiction to food. And ultimately, the liver normalized and the eating disorder, 12 years of white-knuckling my way through every day, and I'm talking about a biochemical addiction to food as strong as heroin addiction, literally having burnout the dopamine receptors in my brain. And was wound up dropping 10 dress sizes, getting back my gut function, getting back my life, and helping others do that for the last 15 years. But that was 25 years ago, and everything is different now.
Yeah, I had a similar experience when I was young. I was, let's call it a fat mess. And
wow.
I was only a teenager at the time, and I was short and fat and slow, and one summer I decided to get the lead out and started running, and all of a sudden I slimmed down and got tall, and my cross-country team that I was able to join then won the state championship. So it was really a transformation, but I never gave up who I had been. I've
mm-hmm.
always been very concerned that I don't fall back into that fat mess that I used to be.
Well, I used to exercise a lot, Peter, and ironically, when you have an eating disorder, which is completely different than a lot of reasons that people gain weight, and I taught 6 or 7 dance classes a week as a fat-storing machine, and my genes were not on my side. The thyroid was failing. I was called Human Pear and a worse name that I can't say on the air.
Well, this is what people want to solve in their life. You know,
so
many people are going to the gym every day and not getting satisfaction. And I was reading recently that...
And the time when I shrank, Peter, I was doing no formal exercise. And 25 years later, as someone who hasn't struggled with my weight or my relationship with food at all because I made a biochemical flip that many people don't even know exists, and we're going to talk about that.
Right.
But once I made that flip, I was a fat-burning machine, and I'm just naturally active. I do not do formal exercise, and everyone would not believe it because
well,
I'm...
Well, let's talk about that because what I've been reading about marathon training is that for men,
harmful.
They can train for marathons and get thin, and women train for marathons and don't lose weight. If anything, they might even gain some weight. And they don't understand
it. You can even lose
muscle
mass, and your body chemistry can even hoard fat after a certain number of minutes of running. You lose physical gains, really, and elevate cortisol after about 40 minutes. But that's it's an interesting thing because, so like you say, and particularly women are kind of looking at, maybe they even buy those little calorie meters and try to tally how many calories. I was so into calorie tallying. But the interesting thing is back before the words low carb were even uttered, no one was saying low carbs. It was low, still carbohydrates. I hadn't even read the first edition of Atkins, which probably had just come out around the 90s. I started eating. I noticed I felt free from my eating disorder only in fleeting moments, and I tried to repeat what was I eating. Very uncharacteristic for me. I bought into the low fat, which this was before the low fat craze that I was done the, you know, calorie of a gram of fat has this many calories. So I finally figured out, you know what, I'm not going to eat any fat. Maybe I'll finally consume as few calories, and calories turn out not to have anything to do with it. But anyway, I finally noticed that I felt free from my binging demon only when I ate fat. And yet when I ate even my beloved whole grains, I was on the advanced health food diet once I moved to New York and became a makeup artist here. I was eating the brown rice, the soba noodles, the steel-cut oats, and I was even doing the raw food desserts. But I still, once the binging demon is there, and once candida, you know, after too much antibiotic use, once those biochemistry set in and the burnout dopamine receptor sites, you find a way to make a drug. This is really hard for a lot of people, even nutritionists, to believe that someone like me could make a drug out of a plate of brown rice. You can take the carbs in the natural world, in the fruit world, and turn them into your drug if you already have that predisposition in your biochemistry, which I acquired. And so that got turned around eventually. Lots of supplements were involved for me, but I worked out and really stumbled my way through a way of eating that later was recognized. And 4 years after I did this for myself, the hormone leptin was discovered at Rockefeller University. I even met Jeffrey Friedman, the man who discovered it,
and had no idea what
I had manipulated.
Let's talk about that, because leptin is very important. And we don't get enough leptin because we don't get enough fat.
And well, it's not about getting leptin, Peter. Leptin is, everyone has leptin.
No, but
it's about getting it working.
Because leptin really helps us shed body fat.
Right. So let me again just distinguish. It's not how much leptin. It's that, you know, just like it's not how much insulin you have, it's whether your cells will do the job with it and whether the receptors for that hormone are still receiving it.
Right.
Because if insulin isn't received by the receptors, your blood sugar stabilization process is off, and leptin is the fat receptor. It was interesting because it wasn't until 2004 that I knew, was identified by the foremost expert on leptin in the world, Dr. Ron Rosedale, who found out about my programs and the symptoms they were producing, and almost always on day three, and the science has finally caught up with that. And he said, wow, you know, your people are having this appetite drop-off. They're having a rise in a steadiness of energy, an evening out of energy, not just a rise in energy, which cannot always mean that you're sensitive to leptin, but the, you know, a return of their sleep, but mainly this very profound appetite drop-off and loss of inflammation and edema, even excessive urination for a couple of days as your body literally depuffs from head to toe. So much of our weight is simply inflammation and what men carry around their guts, almost always related to not being sensitive to leptin, to not sleeping well as a result of that, and to overall inflammation that never gets taken care of because we're not sensitive to leptin.
Well, what is it that makes our bodies more sensitive to leptin?
And this is a really interesting concept. Just like insulin, or let's say a chemical, and Dr. Rosedale uses this analogy. If you're in a room with a chemical for a long time, you can no longer smell it, okay? If you leave the room and go back for a few days, you know, go back in, boy, you'll smell it all over again. You'll say, wow, I was hanging out in that room and I couldn't even smell that chemical. Well, that's what happens when the body, due to blood sugar spikes, constantly endures rises not only in insulin, but in leptin. So the very food choices that cause a rise in insulin and causes a rise in leptin and ultimately will make you insensitive to it. If these blood sugar spikes happen often enough, and especially during childhood, and even your sensitivity to both insulin and leptin can be down from your heredity too. So if your parents were diabetic or were exposed to a lot of high fructose corn syrup, we're seeing the first generation ever whose parents had been exposed to that experiment, which is why we're seeing the first adult onset coming on it in people's teens and seeing the first generation of young people not outlive their parents.
All right. So we have to look at what we've been, the information that we've been fed, what we believe in that isn't working, and how do we change it? Because we have to develop new food habits.
They're all going. They're all going gluten-free. They're all going paleo, and there are problems. That's fine. In most cases, it's a upgrade. It's better than the standard American diet. Even if someone just does raw and changes all of their high fructose corn syrup to real sugar, it's still an upgrade. You'll still have improvement. But though many of those are left with weight problems and their cravings never go away, what I do is the first thing that completely removes them. And that is, I say that not lightly. I would never say that because I came from being this woman who would not even believe what I'm saying. And so what happens is that if you go paleo, you're going to get too much protein. Excess protein turns to sugar. Eventually, your cravings will come back. If you go even ketogenic in a high-protein way, your keto strips will show high ketones. It just doesn't mean that you're efficiently burning these ketones, which is the brain's favorite fuel, contrary to popular belief. And it's important that you look at high fat, not just high protein. It doesn't mean filling your plate with fat. It means that since your appetite's going to drop way down, your proportion of fat is higher. It's really, you're going to be shocked by the small amount of food that you'll eat, but the small amount of food that you will want. And there's
no more willpower, and that's
the number one thing.
Let's talk about it in a way that people can actually see what to put on their table. You know, what is it that they're doing wrong that isn't giving them enough fat? And how can they get enough without, you know, eating foods that they might not even like?
Since everyone's threshold, you know, at which this flip into, and it's literally a biochemical flip that happens over a three-day period where the body, which was preferring sugar for fuel, which everyone's body prefers sugar for fuel, which it is only supposed to prefer in a famine, to being a fat-burning machine. It's a flip. And so these symptoms I just mentioned are what to look for because everyone's threshold at which that happens is different. So one person who could eat, you know, a little kiwi on their salad or toss a few berries on, almost nobody can have just a plain bowl of berries or a smoothie with fruit in it without, you know, spiking their blood sugar enough to guarantee they will never be sensitive to leptin. And coffee is another issue, but there's, you know, we could go on and on for hours about this, but the threshold, not being phobic of fat is very important. Having fat, cutting out, if someone is even slightly metabolically challenged, they're going to have to kiss whole grains even goodbye.
Where do they look for their fat?
Pardon?
Where do people look for their fat?
What
if you're going to consume more fat in your diet and less... carbs.
What comes to mind, Peter, is many people say, well, I'm already having olive oil and virgin coconut oil, and people who are, you know, health food aficionados are going to say that, and that's good. I'm glad they're having that. They should look beyond that. The lies about meats causing acidosis, that's high protein that causes different, and very rarely, mind you, acidosis. The body adjusts pH so that no pH water or pH so-called pH diet is going to have impact. That's a whole other show. But what you're doing is you don't want to be phobic. I was vegetarian for 7 years. We need cholesterol. Cholesterol is a builder of all other sex hormones. It is a primary fighter of inflammation. No dietary cholesterol ever brought on bad changes in blood cholesterol other than, actually, no dietary cholesterol. It is only dietary sugar that causes the inflammation that causes the small particle LDL to actually do its job and patch our arteries. And
yeah,
there's a whole show we can do about vitamin D and how
that actually helps cholesterol be smarter and do better for the body.
That's right. That's right. And also avoidance of glyphosates, which are found in GMO foods, which completely mess up how cholesterol is metabolized and used in the body. And those two things, and you and I spoke the other day and acknowledged how even the sun can't convert into vitamin D into the body without cholesterol. And so we've got to get rid of this animal food phobia and look for grass-fed foods, because you're getting omega-3, grass-fed beef and cheese, and this is the way that the environment is brought back, because it is a myth that pastured animals are harmful to the environment. In fact, one of the only ways that a CO2 sink can be created to turn around global warming. And so if you look at TED Talk, Alan Savory, you can find out how a PhD, one of the highest up in bringing back topsoil in the world, found out that grazing animals are the answer and that it is counterproductive to keep them in one place. That destroys the land. But one of the fastest ways to bring back, even from a desert, to make arable land is to graze animals on it. And it is one of the answers. It causes a deep root system. It's astounding. So this whole avoidance, and Lierre Keith wrote a book, The Vegetarian Myth. People need to get past this. And health-wise, there are things that cholesterol and saturated fats from the right animals, pastured animals, can do for health that nothing else can.
Right. So this is really important to appreciate carnivores and how animals actually have chosen to be food animals, to have come here,
yeah,
because they wouldn't survive if we didn't need them. And so there's a way that the planet is balanced, and we can certainly bless these animals and thank them,
yeah,
and treat them properly, humanely, and even when they die for the offering that they're here to give us, to bless that and to do it humanely.
And the fat, like you were referring to vitamin D, it's the D3 that we know helps humans, that's fat soluble from animals in general. It is the K2, not the K1, found in plants, almost not absorbable. And the vitamin A that we find in the fat-soluble form that can be used directly, whereas many, many people cannot even convert beta-carotene to usable vitamin A. Again and again, you're going to see examples of how we are missing fat-soluble nutrients. And so for me, after 7 years, the first meat I had, I have to say I've gotten myself psyched into actually being disgusted by it, but I had a bite and another bite, and my body felt different for 2 weeks afterward. I'm not saying you have to eat a lot, everybody, and if you're leptin sensitive, you don't eat much. You realize how much you don't need, but the change on the skin, going to beauty, the change on the skin, every kind of thing that no dermatologist can touch. We're talking rosacea, people with rosacea whose face is the same color as their neck in a week and a half after they get leptin sensitive. Certainly no cystic acne, eczema, seborrhea. One woman in unexplainable hives after every time she spoke, couldn't even be touched by her husband. All of a sudden, they're just gone, IBS gone. Why? Leptin modulates immunity, so your autoimmune, even food sensitivities, you won't believe what happens. It also heals the dopamine receptors we talked about, grows the cerebral cortex, which is the self-control center. It heals tissue repair incredibly and balances your sex hormones, heals thyroid function. So many people don't even need to go in the direction of thyroid medication. They're just put on it for life when they're just having a temporary adrenal function, a loss, and the impact on adrenals and anxiety and balancing of the parasympathetic and sympathetic nervous system are incredible.
That's wonderful. So we really need to understand how understand what to put on our plate.
And there's a little bit of variation to that, which is what I do, is teach people to know by symptom, not by number, because numbers lie, and certainly the women I was knew how to exploit numbers. And so you learn what this feels like, and on my Total Transformation programs, I get people to that place so that it's they've gotten there. I mean, they're paying good money. They are there with me for several days. Other people just do my online or my phone programs. But once they achieve that through somewhat of a strict first few day of eating, and I prepare them for the withdrawal. This is not something you want to do without knowing what it's going to be like, because there's going to be a few levels of withdrawal. Could be yeast die off. Someone's not eating fat before. They're not making those enzymes immediately. So it could sit there for a couple days. Your energy will drop out from under you because you're living on sugar. And literally the body is going to be changing to using fat as its primary fuel. So there's a day or two, a down day. Could be more if you don't do it guided, but my book, The Truth About Beauty, can get people there or mostly there. If they're very metabolically challenged, they might need to go stricter than that book. But my programs, and I'd be willing to send an article about this to anyone who signs up at my newsletter.
Okay, so we'll talk about how to contact you and get all that stuff in a couple of minutes. But I was just thinking that maybe people can start off by adding more oils and cheeses to their diets.
Now, they could gain weight. They could gain weight. Just a little warning, because if your body's not preferring fat for fuel, then you could gain weight. But in general, at the very, very same time, Peter, they need to steeply cut down on carbs and carb sources. And people think, oh, I don't need any sugar. I'll tell you what, every person who's ever told me they don't eat sugar is eating a lot of things that turn to sugar. And it's not just the wine. It's once you're very, you know, close to being leptin sensitive, if you're very metabolically challenged, little things, and even vegetable sugars of some sort, winter vegetables, certain berries that everyone says, oh, we got to have it. You wouldn't believe what people can experience that no doctor could. I have so many Mayo Clinic. I have a neurological clinic reversing epilepsy using my book with cases of my books, a fertility clinic calling it The Truth About Fertility. And all of these things could not happen if people were still having their bowl of blueberries in the morning or all their alcohol tinctures or drinking almond milk willy-nilly. There are things that are in the health food world that really botch this up.
So people can overdo it. The idea is that there are a lot of nutrients in fruits and vegetables, and we're not saying don't eat them. It's just about moderation of that and adding all of these wonderful extras. Now, you talked about gaining weight if you bring fats into your diet, but that's only temporary. That's until your body learns how to use fat.
I wouldn't say it's only temporary, Pierre. My experience, and it's extensive over these 15 years of living along with people 5 to 10 days at a time, 6 to 8 times a year, and what it is that if people don't cut out their sugars at the same time, even just one lemonade, even just one smoothie a day, when some people just decide to just add fat to it, they can easily gain weight. And so they have to cut out what's spiking their blood sugar, and the threshold for having our blood sugar spike gets lower and lower the more metabolically challenged, the more frequent our past exposures that we've accumulated have been. So it is something where you can't really do this partway by ignoring those things and adding a bunch of fat.
Okay, that's understandable. So that you really have to make a change and avoid some nutrients that you might be getting from vegetables and fruits in the meantime, so that your body learns how to metabolize differently.
Exactly. Can I say something about fruit, too? Is we don't have exposure to the breadth of fruit, the types of fruit that other countries have. You know, it's not like we go outside and pick a sea buckthorn berry or a goji berry or an acai berry off of our tree. And if you go to Costa Rica, they're doing green papaya, green mangoes. They've got tart fruits, different countries. We don't have them on our market stands because our taste buds can't taste them anymore. So when you talk fruit in the United States, we're talking orange juice, you know, and oranges, apples, and bananas, basically.
It's a lot of heavy sugar.
There's so much world of sour fruits that can be explored. A passion fruit, for example, is like pineapple with no sugar. And the minute you add stevia to anything, even cranberries, this Thanksgiving, you're about to make cranberry sauce, please just use real cranberries and add a little stevia. You will not believe, you know, little mulling spices, a little orange peel. Amazing. And without the blood sugar spike. And so these little upgrades are very important. And yes, they will give improvement, but there will be a quantum leap if people go all the way, and it's just not something someone can intuitively do.
Yeah, there's so much to learn about how to add fats to a diet, how to eat meats properly, how to even eat dairy properly, because there's a lot of dairy out there that's harmful.
Exactly. And the dairy, of course, we want grass-fed. And, you know, I wish I had access to unpasteurized raw all the time. I just don't. So there's a company that I, you know, that supplies my programs where it's raw grass-fed cheeses. People digest those much better. But in terms of meat, everyone overcooks it. As you may know, you know, it's really got to be medium rare. Overcooked protein is glycated protein. It causes just a free radical bath in the body anytime we have a well-done or medium meat like what I grew up with.
Yeah, I've even been eating medium-boiled eggs lately instead of hard-boiled.
Good.
Because
good.
The yolks are healthier when they're not
exactly.
overcooked.
And they're not in contact, direct contact with the heat. They get oxidized. And just
That's
the
right.
best food ever, eggs, you know, for the eyes, for the skin.
Yeah,
just
eggs
for
are
beauty.
Wonderful.
People can see my before and after photo in my book, The Truth About Beauty, or at my website. I know you were going to say that in a minute, but I just think they should see these photos, 19 years old, eating disorder, and then the difference, even now at 50, but they can see it at informedbeauty.com if they get on the newsletter.
Informed,
and we'll send them this
let's
article.
Slow down here and spell this out, informedbeauty.com.
Yep, informed with an E-D. beauty.com.
Right.
Also can call 877-54-TOTAL. They want to learn about the programs called Total Transformation. Lots of articles in Better Nutrition, and also the Vitamin Shops magazine has one out, and that one at the amazingwellnessmagazine.com or amazingwellnessmag.com. They can read or just search Kat James and see a lot of these stories, but the most recent really kind of doing what we're talking about and fine-tuning if people need to go beyond this paleo or gluten-free. Gluten-free will not protect you metabolically from blood sugar spikes, for example, will never get you leptin-sensitive. You'll be hearing about leptin constantly, everybody, for the next 10 years, but people aren't going all the way, and I am at the pioneering forefront of the execution of it, which is very different than just the science.
Right, and being non-glutenous doesn't mean non-carb.
That's right. I know what the woman I was would have done, you know, in the aisles of the health food store if I was going non-gluten. I would have rationalized and eaten all the more of these gluten-free cookies and completely, you know, fed my eating disorder.
Right. It's amazing how confused we all get. And we need to clarify, and I'm so glad to be talking with you, to understand what our priorities need to be and to really be able to make big changes and believe in ourselves and the process of changing our diets so that we can get results and not be confused and say, oh, I don't know. I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing. I don't know. Who knows? Nobody knows.
This is fast. In other words, the changes here are fast and don't depend on willpower. And for those who are motivated by beauty, I certainly was. It was really when my skin changed and these eczema rashes, they were oozy and peely and peeling on my eyebrows and sides of my nose, scaling skin, itchy skin, big bottles of cream, all gone. That was my wake-up call. It wasn't even enough that my liver enzymes had gone down to normal in 3 appointments. I really woke up as soon as my skin and the comfort in my skin changed. All of the contours around my eyelids, which will, by the way, flare up and get all puffy and wavy if I eat the wrong thing, maybe at a restaurant, even unwillingly, wittingly, they put, sugar in the Thai, curry or something. But the physical paybacks in the shortest period of time, I've had people who've said, I'm going to do your program, I'll give it 6 months. I laugh. I say, give it 2 weeks. You will have unbelievable changes. Very few other, kind of things can promise that, but it's such a powerful biochemical flip, and it's all based on real science that is just now coming out. And so the beauty motivation, we don't have to discourage that, because people need to use the mirror in a different way. You talked about body image. I used to just use the mirror, many of us do, just to judge it and then walk out the door like, oh, did I cover my backside? Is my skirt good enough to make my backside look small? And did I use enough concealer to cover all my blemishes and dark circles? What if the relationship with the mirror was that without anything on your face, you can see the consequences of the choices you made yesterday because you can? And if people develop that relationship with the mirror, it becomes actually constructive, and you start to treat yourself better, and that's the best thing about inside-out beauty.
Right. When you have answers, then you can start looking for results. So
Yeah. We
start seeing them in our faces, in our bodies, and that encourages us even more. It's so
Yep. Inspirational
to talk with you and understand what we've been doing wrong and how to do it better, how to do it right. So, Kat
Thank
James,
you.
it's really a pleasure to talk with you and
you too,
talk
Peter.
About The Truth About Beauty, your book called The Truth About Beauty at Informed. What is that?
Beauty.com.
Beauty.
Informed with an ED, beauty.com.
Informedbeauty.com. Kat James, thanks so much for being a guest on Energy
Speak. My pleasure. Thank you so much, Peter, for what
sure.
you do as well.
And this is Peter Roth, your host of Energy Stew at PRN.fm. I can be reached at peter@heartriver.org or 212-222-7748. I'd love to hear from you. All kinds of great stuff going on at Heart River, lots of classes. And please join us. Sign up for our website at heartriver.org. And thank you so much for listening.